inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
If you are brand new to rental property investing and you're trying to figure out how to get started, I wrote an ebook that'll show you exactly how to do it. You can download it right now. Just go to landlordgift.com. My guest on the podcast today wanted to start buying rental properties, but he was under the assumption that he needed a lot of money to get started. So he started saving money, and he actually started listening to the Rental Income Podcast to kind of figure everything out and learn how to do it. And as he was listening, he heard a previous guest and said, wow, what they're doing is really smart. I don't need a lot of money. Let me copy what they're doing. And he did it, and today he's got his first rental property. So I want to talk to him about exactly what he did and see what we can learn. So let's take a real quick break. We'll get a word in from our sponsors. We'll come back in 1 minute, and we'll meet Brian Herron from Pittsburgh.
Would you like to know the easiest way to create wealth and passive income with real estate? This is Marco Santarelli with Norada Real Estate Investments. Now you can access the best deals without the stress or hassle of having to find, renovate, or manage those properties. We save you time by providing you with passive income investment properties in some of the best U.S. markets. Learn more by downloading your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing. There's no obligation and nothing to buy. Simply visit PassiveRealEstateGuide.com and get your free copy today. That's PassiveRealEstateGuide.com.
The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified. And I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because you don't want to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's got a special offer just for our listeners. She's offering to waive all the pre-qualification fees if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E lendinggroup.com. Hey, Brian, welcome to the podcast. I'm excited to hear your story and figure out what you've done. So take me back. Tell me, I guess it was about 15 years ago when you first had the idea that you wanted to buy a rental property.
Yeah. So I had heard my stepdad owned a duplex, and he would tell me how he was basically living for free, and it was it enabled him to help him pay off his credit card. So, you know, I started thinking about it then, and I just decided that, you know, that'd be a good way for me to get going in life if I just would start investing in real estate. But the issue was, is I was young and I was kind of ignorant. You know, I didn't know much about it, and the internet wasn't like it was today.
Right.
You know, today you can Google anything, and we have podcasts and education and all sorts of things to guide us today. But back then, I was still using dial-up. So
right.
That's kind of how
it's
long.
It's a whole different world. So yeah.
Just didn't really have any guidance or any way to get started in my mind at that time.
Yeah. So today you've got your first rental. So what changed? Like how did you how did you figure everything out?
Well, I actually, it's kind of more of a story. So I worked at a steel mill for 16 years and I had gotten laid off. And so I went from a pretty hefty, almost a six-figure income to unemployment. So mm-hmm. That's like $400 a week in New York.
Right.
And, you know, that makes it tough to pay bills.
Yep.
And I started looking at life like, you know, what can I do to try to supplement this income or how to get this going? And besides going back to school and get a 6-year degree, you know, the only thing I could think of is going back to that real estate. And I was like reading articles on how most millionaires are made through real estate than any other way. So I just decided to start Googling financial information and stuff like that. And I came across Dave Ramsey. I started following him for a little bit of time. And 2.5 years ago, I made a decision that I was going to go ahead and go full force. And I was going to do a combination of, you know, Dave Ramsey's plan, get rid of all the unnecessary debt that I did not need to provide more income every month to save, to buy real estate. Mm-hmm. Between that and reading, I read probably 2 to 4 books every single month, all nonfiction, business related, real estate related, and self-motivation, like Tony Robbins and those types of things. So that's kind of what got me my start and gave me the base the foundation to get started in real estate.
Okay. So you're doing the Dave Ramsey method. You're paying off your debt. You're saving some money. And then one day you discovered the Rental Income Podcast, right?
I did. So I love Dave Ramsey. And I believe in most of what he says and does. But he wasn't really real estate specific. And I knew that that's where I wanted to go. And honestly, his method is to save up, 100% of the payment for that property. So in my instance, with this triplex that I just purchased, I would have to save up $100,000 plus pay off all the debt that I had.
Right.
So I knew that was going to take me.
Yeah, it takes forever. I mean, yeah, Dave Ramsey wants people to buy rental properties with cash. And, it's saving up that much money to buy a rental property with cash. It's not really practical unless you're like Dave Ramsey, where you're a multimillionaire, then it's a bit easier. So what happened? Like, did you,
I stumbled upon you.
Okay.
So I have an Android. So I had it's called the podcast app, and I was just putting real estate, in there or something like that, or rental or something. And then you popped up and it's Rental Income Podcast. And I said, that sounds about my speed right there.
Yeah.
So I downloaded your podcast, and I don't know where I was in my thought process at that point, but what I was doing was scrolling through your apps or scrolling through your shows. And the ones that were applying to me at that time were the ones I was listening to. The very first one I heard was a gentleman who paid cash for his trailer, kind of like the Dave Ramsey, because remember, that's what actually that kind of was my mindset back then.
Yeah. So
he had saved up and just paid cash for everything going forward. And I just thought that was kind of cool. But shortly after, I just started listening right from the beginning. I went to episode one and I just listened all the way on through. I think we're up to 185 or 186
now. Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. So then you're getting the information, you're seeing all the different strategies and all the different ways to do it. And then you found someone that kind of resonated with you.
Yeah. So what I did is, like I said, I started clearing up all that debt, and I was saving money every month. I was living on half the income that I was earning, and I started putting $1,100 a month into some mutual funds that I thought would work well for the situation that I was in. And like I said, I had taken a new job about 4 years ago. I'm an international auditor, so I'm a numbers guy as it is. So this is all fun to me, by the way, this real estate investing and running numbers. And so I was forced to move to Pittsburgh, I guess, technically, but I did not move my family. I continued to just travel back and forth between Syracuse and Pittsburgh, paying a mortgage in Syracuse and renting in Pittsburgh. And so I'd come across one of your podcasts on the way to Pittsburgh one afternoon, and the gentleman had used an FHA mortgage to buy a quadplex. And I was thinking, I remembered in the beginning of the show that he said he had already had a home. And so I was kind of like curious in how he did that, how he was able to, buy that fourplex. And I think it was even in a different city, kind of like the situation I was in. So I started thinking about it, and I understood the FHA, and I understood, the different ways to get into real estate and the best ways and, depending on the situation. And like I said, the savings was slow going. I mean, $1,100 a month sounds like a lot, but when you need to put 25% down on, let's say, $100,000 property, you're going to come out of pocket $25,000 plus closing.
Right, right. It's a lot of money. Yeah.
Yeah. And I wanted to be an investor. I was tired of, talking to everybody about investing and teaching them everything that I knew from all these books and podcasts like yours and all this information I had that I knew was true, but I personally couldn't put practice to it.
Yeah.
And so, because everybody always asked me the one question, well, how many units do you own or how many properties do you own? And I always say zero.
Right.
So in the podcast, it just triggered something with me. And I just said, wait, I can do that because my pay stub and my W-2 gets mailed to a Pittsburgh address. And right. So what I did is I contacted an agent the following weekend, as a matter of fact. And I told him I was interested in a fourplex that I had saw in Pittsburgh. Which the deal fell through and everything. But what I learned was that, yes, that I could, because the fact that I was forced to move based on a job situation, that even though I owned a property, this is not considered an investment because I had to move to a different city and I would actually live in the property. So therefore, I was able to use the FHA loan and right. only have to put down 3.5% plus closing.
Right. So that's 3.5% versus 20 or 25% if you were going to buy this as an investment property. And so you're able to get that FHA loan with the lower down payment because you're going to live in the property. So,
correct.
So the building that you found, is it a three unit?
Yeah, I ended up finding a triplex. It's like in the Ingram area, a little bit west of Pittsburgh, about maybe 10 minutes west of Pittsburgh, not that too far.
And you live in one of the units and then you rent out the other two units, right?
Yes. That's exactly awesome. What I'm doing. I'm packing.
And how are the numbers working? Are you able to cover the mortgage with the rent from those two units?
Yeah, I actually still profit. So the numbers are like this. My total expenses every month, mortgage. I also have some like utilities and things, common utilities. And of course, I always budget CapEx and that type of thing. I'm still profiting around $175 a month and I'm living for free.
That's great.
And then the other part of that is that I'm also saving $575 a month that I was paying in rent. So in all reality, my total gain is $750 a month. And honestly, that's about what it would be if I didn't live in that basement apartment, because that's about what it would rent out for is $575.
And, you know, when you think about the snowball effect that you have going here, so you're saving money on rent, you're making a little profit off the property, and you were also saving money before. So now that your snowball is just getting bigger and bigger so that when you're ready to buy your next property, you're going to have that cash ready to go. Well, no problem.
Look, this a week from today, I'm actually going to hopefully go close up on a land contract, believe it or not. I'm working on buying three buildings, three duplexes, and you know, the total purchase price, those are back in the Syracuse area. But the total price of those is $170,000 for all three of them. And I only have to put down $15,000 out of pocket. So that avoids the huge down payment I would have to put down. And then, like you said, the snowball effect, I never stopped the saving, the $1,100 a month. As a matter of fact, I bumped it up. Now I'm at $1,200. I continue to pay myself rent. So I had a separate account my rent would come out of. And I used to put $300 a pay period in that account to pay my rent. And it's still going in there. So in all actuality, the 700 or so a month I'm gaining on my properties plus now 1200 a month. So now I'm at 1900 a month is still being saved to go into these
That's
accounts.
That's awesome. You know, you're doing it right. Because I think the mistake that a lot of people make is that they say, oh, well, I'm house hacking. I'm living for free. This is great. I've got all this extra money. And then lifestyle inflation starts creeping in and they start spending more money. But it sounds like you're not doing that, that you've kept the same lifestyle and you're saving money.
Yeah, actually my lifestyle is pretty much flipped. So what ended up happening is before I started investing, you know, like I said, it was October of 2016 is when I basically started this whole regimen, this whole plan on buying real estate. And back then, and this just sounds crazy, but because of the recession and things happening, being $400 a week from, you know, almost $2,000 a week, I was upside down on a lot of things. You know, I had a car payment, I had a truck payment, I had all these payments going out at $50,000 in credit card debt. I mean, you know, because of course the truck transmission, everything happened all at once. So I went from basically like not having enough money to pay bills to, like I said, now I can live on less than half of 50% of what I earn. So it's all mindset. So if anybody out there is wanting to get into this and they feel like they're in a situation that they can't do it because they have so many bills, it's a choice that you make. And you're going to have to make the choice. They're going to have to make that choice to stop doing what they're doing.
Right.
They're going to have to stop having those car payments, stop putting things on credit cards, stop doing those things and make different choices and better choices for their life. And they got to put a plan together, set your goals and start working toward those goals. And then from there continuing. And then to answer the rest of that question there, as far as going forward. So now I live on less than I did back then. I make more money than I ever have in my life. And if you want to get to your financial freedom number, or you want to get to your goals in life, whether that you know, money is just the tool to get you there. If your goals are to be, you know, sipping, you know, margaritas on some beach somewhere, then that'll get you there. Or if your goal is like me to have more time with your family and be able to attend your kids' volleyball games and those types of things, then, you know, you've got to stay on track. And that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm not changing my lifestyle. I'm going to continue to go at it the way I'm at it. And I just feel that this is the fastest path of progress for me to get where I need to be, is just to continue, like you said, the snowball effect.
Yeah. Guys, make sure that you go back and listen to that again, because what Brian just said right there is really, really awesome advice. I mean, if you think about it, just a couple of years ago, Brian was just like you. He was listening to this podcast, trying to figure out how to get going. And today he's on the podcast talking about what he did. And I think that is just really, really awesome. Now, so how are things going with the property? Are like when you actually took over, were there tenants in there already?
Yeah. The reason why I bought this property was, well, first off, right now properties are hard to come by. This was an off-market deal, and I got it through an investor friend. So network, everybody. Network's huge. Mm-hmm. And he owns a property management company. And this was a guy that was looking, he's well-seasoned in investing, and he was looking to move on to bigger and better things. And he was dropping a few multi-units. And so when I looked at this unit, it was fully occupied, three tenants. And when I walked through these units, I was so impressed. I said, well, how long have you lived here? You know, every tenant I asked that to. And I always ask questions when I'm in there. Hey, if you needed anything repaired, what would it be? Or is there anything that if I bought this building that you'd want done, you know, to make your living experience better? I ask those questions because a lot of times it gets them talking, and then they'll tell you the issues with the building.
Right.
I ask these questions, and they're like, my shortest tenant there was the third floor tenant, and he's been there for 3 years. The other two were there for 4 years each, and the place was immaculate. Like, wow. The carpet, like one of the units has carpet in it, still looked brand new, and the carpet was 4 years old. Wow. So I knew that the tenants cared about this building, and I knew they cared about the way they lived. And so that's why I bought the building, was they didn't really have too many issues. They loved the previous owner. The building seemed to be in good shape. The tenants took good care of it, and they were long tenured tenants. So which tells me that there's something good happening there. Yeah. And was definitely willing to keep them on.
Now, let me ask you a question. This is something everybody forgets when they buy a building that has tenants in there already. Did you remember to get the security deposit from the previous owner?
I did. Awesome. I learned that from the podcast. Yeah,
awesome.
I did. I've got all the security deposits. Matter of fact, I gave so one of the tenant on the first floor apartment, she decided she didn't want to renew her lease, which worked out perfectly because now I don't have to evict anybody or give them their 60-day notice that I have to, you know, they have to vacate so I can move in. And so the basement apartment is the one that I'm living in. And she wanted the bigger apartment because her daughter comes out quite often. So she asked, hey, can I move upstairs? So I actually had to give the second floor tenant, or whatever you want to call it, the middle tenant there, I had to give her back her security deposit because she left the place. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even have to pay.
Okay.
So it was moving ready.
That's great. And now, as far as you moving in there, so you had a tenant, like that tenant that left, is that the unit that you took?
No. The basement unit, the lady there, she's been there for 4 years. She moved there from Philadelphia. It's the only place she's lived in Pittsburgh. She asked me if she could move up there. And I was definitely willing to let her do that because, you know, I get $200 more a month for that apartment up there. So I wanted more cash flow, and it's just me there. So the basement apartment's an efficiency. The other two are two bedrooms.
Okay. Awesome. Now tell me about getting approved for the loan. A lot of times getting approved for mortgages can be tough. Did you have any trouble getting approved for the mortgage?
I didn't really have any trouble getting approved for the mortgage as far as, you know, the pre-approval process. I requested a certain amount, and I think I qualified for the max FHA loan, which was 300 something thousand. I don't remember what it is. So that part was easy. So I guess the only thing I want to advise or educate people on as far as the FHA process is they're more stringent than if you were going to just go and get your 20 or 25% down investment loan. They're gonna want to look at every little nook and cranny. And I think I told you before that there was an instance where the underwriter asked, he had my tax returns for the past 2 years. And then now he's requesting my W-2s because he said he couldn't understand the income that I was earning because I had I had multiple sources. Even before I bought, this building, and now I'm working on the next deal to have this other income, I always have dividends and interest and, just side money has always been kind of coming in. And so he's a personal friend. This underwriter was a personal friend with the broker. And I asked the broker, I said, does that really matter because of the fact that my base salary should be enough to approve me for this loan? He goes, it is enough to approve you for the loan. But I'll tell you, between you and me, he said, now and the rest, everybody listening to this podcast, he said, he's just nosy. He's just really interested in how you've managed to do that.
Wow. Wow. That's
just like
crazy
stuff. You get stupid questions. If you don't get one document in, and it seems so minor, I'm trying to think of one. I was asked for income verification. So now they've got 2 years of tax returns. They've got current pay stubs. They've got current W-2s for the last couple of years. And now they ask my company or my organization to fill out some type of report saying, yes, that I'm definitely employed there. And yes, I definitely make this kind of money. And yes, I definitely, my next raise is this, just a bunch of stuff. So it is stressful at times, but it's worth it in the end. I mean, you have to, if you want to be an investor of property, you're going to have to just deal with that.
Push. Nothing good is easy. So yeah, you just got to fight through it. It's amazing that when I'm getting approved for a mortgage, the amount of documentation that they need, but you just have to do it. All right. So the last thing I want to ask you about is collecting rent. So like, do the tenants just bring you rent since you live there with them, or are they paying you online? How are you collecting rent every month?
Both. But now just online. So the first month, obviously, I was there and I'm going to self-manage these properties. So the tenant from upstairs literally came down one morning. I'm just waking up, just literally, I think it just had breakfast, and he's knocking on my door and he hands me an envelope with, $650 in cash in it. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, whoa, this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then tenant below, which we didn't touch on, is a Section 8 tenant, believe it or not.
Okay.
And she paid online through the company, the property manager that was on before. And, I wasn't going to keep this property manager, but I did actually just hire them back recently because I do travel quite a bit as an auditor. I'm an international auditor and I'm in different states all the time. I'm traveling about 50% of the time. So I did recently just hire them. So now the tenants are paying online through property management.
Okay. Yeah. That's interesting. I've never heard anybody using a property manager for a property they live in. But in your case, it does make a lot of sense if you're traveling.
Here's an example. I got a vehicle that I use for work. I've had it for 16 months, roughly, and I have almost 70,000 miles on it.
Wow, that is a lot of driving. Well, Brian, thank you so much for coming on the show. If you want to reach out to Brian, I've got his contact info on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode188. Thank you so much for listening and subscribing to the podcast. We've got a new episode for you next Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.